If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
And so now Jesus shifts and he says, you know what I got to do now? I have to let you know how it's going to be before I come back to set up the kingdom. You want to find out about the kingdom? Let me give you some understanding on how it's going to be before the kingdom comes. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. But in the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. My brothers and sisters, you and I are so caught up in our personal lives that we don't even see the signs that tell us that Jesus is coming back. The devil has deceived us to chase dollars, corporate standing, worldly positions, money, popularity, success, and fame. And we can't even see. But the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven. Many of us don't even, as I said this morning, many of us don't even like to come to church but once a week. What kind of relationship can be satisfied by once a week? Don't even talk to God but Sunday. Sunday's the only time I can come, praise the Lord. I'm just so busy. I work 2-3 jobs. And you're forgetting the Lord who gave you the strength to do it. God says he's tired of being your mistress. Either he sits on the throne of your life or he'll move. You see, the Bible says that the Apostle Paul tried to take the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to the Jews. But they were so steeped in religious training that they could not receive it. And Paul uses a term. He says, there is an open door given to me. And theologians down through the years take the open door to mean that Paul is able to go to the Gentiles. But I want to suggest to you that the open door of opportunity is also an open door of calamity. For Paul received persecution by going through that open door. He was shipwrecked 3 times. Thrice, he says, he was beaten with rods. He was abused by the very people that he came to bring the good news of Jesus. You see, God may give you an open door, but there's always tests that come with that open door. A door of opportunity is also a door of testing. So you and I are now sitting in the realm of the testing. You cannot serve God 2 hours a week and call yourself a child of God. We actually have come to the realization that I'll give God those few hours on Sunday and that satisfies my conscience. I don't need prayer and Bible study during the week because I'm busy. What would happen if you went to God in a prayer time and you had a situation way out of your sphere of control and he said to you, I'm busy? He did that over in the book of Judges where the Bible says the children of Israel did evil and they were caught up by another nation and they cried to the Lord and he came and delivered them. The children of Israel did evil and they were caught up in another nation and then God delivered them. And one time the Bible says that they cried to the Lord and he said, call the gods that you serve, not me. Don't call me. Call the gods that you serve. You see, you rather have them than me. We sit together, and I find it to be incredulous, and I find it to be difficult to grasp that Jesus is put on the back burner of our lives. Did you ever notice that you go on vacation and not go to church on Sunday when your vacation runs into a Sunday? Did you notice that when you're on vacation, you seldom even think about offerings, your Bible? We don't even pack our Bibles when we go on vacation because I don't need God for 7 days. I'm just going to enjoy the boat. I'm going to enjoy the plane. I'm going to enjoy such and such. Me, when I pack, I take Bibles, notebooks, computers. He deals with me. He robs me of my vacation time to talk to me about church. I quickly respond. I get up early in the morning and sit with him because I cannot escape him. You mean to tell me that the vacation time is more important than God? So here you are on a boat in the middle of the Caribbean, in the middle of the Pacific, in the middle of an ocean, and you don't want to include God. You say, well, Bishop, I'd never have a Titanic situation because I'm in the Caribbean. Well, then it's called hurricane. We call out to God. And God says, in the Old Testament, I called for my lovers in Ecclesiastes. He said, but they deceived me. He said, they'd rather go into the city and please themselves. How many of us live for ourselves and not for God, forgetting that the Lord is returning, that you will stand before him for the lukewarm life that we're living? You see, the doctrine of eternal security and eternal salvation, I like that one better, eternal salvation, does not mean that you don't have to live holy. It does not mean, listen to what God says. In Romans, when Paul begins this great teaching, I find it to be interesting that he does not start with so great a talk, if you will, about God's grace and love and mercy. The Darwinian theory of evolution suggests that man started as nothing and climbed to greatness. We Christians often put that theory down, the theory of evolution, but we don't totally understand that the Darwinian theory did not embrace ascension from an ape. It embraces the concept of the strong surviving. That people who are strong adapt, just like certain animals, adapt to their surroundings and evolve to be able to handle it. Something may enable them to do it. There are certain species of caterpillars and insects whose skin and their fur allows them to hide, and so they wind up surviving because they've adapted to their environment. And so evolution doesn't mean I came from a monkey. It really means that there are species of beings and animals and insects that have evolved. And so those that did not evolve died off. Like the Tyrannosaurus Rex couldn't make it. Couldn't make it. The Brontosaurus couldn't make it. It wasn't because they evolved into something else. They couldn't make the adjustment. You ever notice if you live in an area where deer run across your lawn? You ever notice that they'll run across your lawn and go back to a wooded area? I'm going to tell you what those deer are telling you. They're telling you to heck with you. I went down this path before you built that house. And they'll sit right in your lawn. And you try to shoo them away. They're like, I was here before you. This is my grandfather's lawn. Uncle Bucky paid for this. And then they go have children, and all six of them come and eat your bushes because it was theirs. I mean, even our law has something called easement. Easement means if you've been walking a certain path for the past 30 years, even if it's not your property, and the owners don't put up a fence or a sign that says private property and go to build a building, you can challenge it by saying they are blocking my egress. And I walked across this property for the last 10 years, and you get yourself a good lawyer, they'll either have to pay you or give you another right of egress around that property. So what Darwin suggests is that these critters, they were able to adjust, and those that weren't, they just slipped away. God makes us adaptable. But here's the caveat. Here's the thing you have to be aware of. The adaptability can be negative in so much as that we become what we behold. In order to adapt what we behold, you begin to identify with the crazies so that you can hang out, so you can get the school safe. You hang out with the people that can get you to school. Now, you're not a gangster, but you hang out with them so you can get where you need to be. And after a while, you start adopting their language, their mannerisms, as you adapt to their behavior. God makes us chameleon-like. But watch what he says in the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, 1:16, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For contained in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them intelligence. He speaks now to the intelligence of the human. God has shown it to you. Paul will identify four stages that bring about your downfall. Intelligence brings about your downfall if you don't give God the glory for your intelligence. We don't know anything on our own. Every test I pass, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If it hadn't been the Lord charging those brain cells, I would not have gotten that test. He says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. This is called the cosmological argument for the validity of God. The cosmological argument says that when you look at the cosmos, that you cannot say there is no creator because you have a creation. It is reported that Napoleon was on a ship going to a country to conquer, and he listened to a couple of his officers talking about the existence of God, and Napoleon stopped and said, "Gentlemen, if you say there is no God, then you must get rid of the stars and the planets." So the cosmological argument says that there is a God. All that's in the world, in the cosmos, validates him. Notice how Paul continues. The man is brilliant. Then he says, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. The 10 lepers. Did you stop and give God praise? Or do you just take your existence for granted?
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
7217A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.
The BDIFC 2017 convocation is almost here. Come worship with us at Bethel Deliverance International Church on Tuesday, September 12th through Friday, September 15th at 7 o'clock p.m. nightly. On the final night, Saturday, September 16th at 5 o'clock p.m., join us for a special youth and young adult service.
This holy convocation will feature afternoon workshops and an encouraging word from the Lord through the following preachers: Co-Pastor Susie Owens of Greater Mount Calvary Holy Church, Bishop David Evans of Bethany Baptist Church, Reverend Deborah Crawley of Childs Memorial Baptist Church, and our very own Pastor Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. To register for the afternoon workshops, visit the Holy Convocation table in the lobby or register online at BethelDeliverance.org.